same station. Have a great day.
Get up, stand up.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 9 o'clock. If you missed Joanne Hardesty's keynote address at KBOO's annual meeting last Sunday, or if you want to hear it again, we will air that speech tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on KBOO.
It's an art that needs a scroll. After story had never been told. So now you see the light.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Just about 9 o'clock here on this Thursday morning, and we're a half hour away from Per Fogering and Fight the Empire. That's at 9:30 this morning. And today, Per speaks with investigative journalist Robert Perry of Consortium News about Vladimir Putin, Syria, and the groupthink in Washington. At 10 o'clock, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. And then at 10:15, it'll be Flashpoints, today featuring a powerful new speech given this week in Berkeley by journalist, activist, and political analyst Phyllis Bennis. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with legendary local writer Ursula K. Le Guin about the new edition of her book, Steering Craft, a 21st Century Guide to Sailing the Sea of Story. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, the guest is Robin Costa-Lewis, whose new collection of poems is called Voyage of the Sable Venus. That's all coming up after Press Watch. Up next, it's Teresa Mitchell and the news you're not supposed to know.
What are you doing this Thursday at 11 a.m.? Hopefully you're listening to Between the Covers, where I talk with living legend, author of over 60 books, Ursula K. Le Guin. Le Guin says, you can't change society without changing the English language. Thus, her new book for writers, Steering the Craft, inevitably engages class, gender, capitalism, politics, and morality, which for her is not separate from grammar and punctuation. Again, it's
Ursula K. Le Guin
this Thursday at 11 on
KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, 90.7 FM in Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Good morning, this is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. Destroy, 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 destroy. First headlines, there's a hurricane off the east coast and south heading towards the Bahamas. CNN says that the whole system is threatening to head straight north to the United States. And indeed, if you look at the NOAA weather maps, they have their little color-coded indicators. And yeah, it's pointing straight towards the east coast. And CNN writes, you can't blame the people along the east coast if they're having a Superstorm Sandy flashback when it comes to Hurricane Joaquin. The powerful tropical system becomes a major hurricane overnight, and over the next day, Cat 3 storm is expected to get stronger. And they say the good news is, if current projections hold, Joaquin won't be another Sandy. So why did they put that in the headline? You have to wonder. Well, anyway, so much for headlines. The Pope of Rome has chosen to give his approval and comfort to the world's most visible homophobe, Kim Davis of Tennessee, world champion. I can just see her with a big gold medal on a belt. Now bigots and gay bashers the world over can breathe a sigh of relief, knowing that the confidant of God Almighty has got their back. Davis, as you will recall, insists that she should be able to unilaterally enforce her religious bigotry on the population as an elected official, rather than merely celebrating her holy hatreds at home and at her church. She is a member of the Apostolic Church, which has been seeking exactly such a showdown for years. They've been very consciously and as a matter of policy putting people in as high office as they can manage. So I can predict there will be more such public gestures from other religious haters and more private stompings and shootings from God's little goon enforcers worldwide. This is Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. My whole problem with Abrahamic religions is that they support patriarchy. That's what they're about culturally. Abrahamic religions are about patriarchy. And it's a very interesting and sad historical tale. If you go back thousands of years and trace the formation and the effect of these patriarchies, they've been quite violent. And it does take quite a bit of violence to enforce something that ain't right. And inequality between men and women ain't right and never has been. Oh, but it's been the way for thousands of years. Well, so what? The human race has been here for millions, and patriarchy stinks, if you ask me. Call in with your comments and questions. 503-231-8187. New diesel cars from Renault, Nissan, Hyundai, Citroën, Fiat, Volvo, and other manufacturers, according to The Guardian in an article by Damian Carrington, have been found to emit substantially higher levels of pollution when tested in more realistic driving conditions, according to new data seen by The Guardian. So I don't want to give Volkswagen a break, but because their trick just wins it all, doesn't it? I mean, my gosh, they should the Volkswagen little symbol, you know, the one with the V and the W and the circle on the back of the bug and all their cars. It should be replaced, I think, by court order worldwide. It should be replaced by the Jolly Roger. Because, wow. But research compiled by ADAC, Europe's largest motoring organization, shows that some of the diesel cars that examined released over 10 times more nitrogen oxide than revealed by existing European Union tests. Using an alternative standard due to be introduced later this decade, ADAC put the diesel cars through the EU's existing lab-based regulatory test and then compared the results with a second UN-developed test, which, while still lab-based, is longer and believed to be better representing real driving conditions. The WLTC UN-developed test is currently due to be introduced by the EU in 2017. So they got some results. Here's the biggest polluters according to ADAC's own data. Nissan's X-Trail 1.6 CDI, which produced over 14 times more nitrogen oxide. Now, of course, we've got to remember that the Volkswagens are producing 40 times more. They're the winners. So we don't want to knock that. But a Nissan spokeswoman said, "We can state unequivocally that we are committed to upholding the law and meeting regulations in all markets." And apparently she didn't even break into a laugh. Renault's eSpace Energy DCI 160. Apparently DC and I has to do, I guess it's diesel. C, what's the C? I don't know. Maybe it's carbon intense, diesel carbon intense 160 emitted over 11 times more nitrogen oxide in the test. So it was all just fascinating. Renault's Grand Scenic and Kadjar were also among the ADAC's top 10 polluters. And then a Renault spokesman got up on his hind legs and said the group complies with all regulations and legislation for the markets in which it operates. Its vehicles are not equipped with defeat devices. ADAC found Jeep's Renegade 2.0 emitted 10 times more nitrogen oxide, while other cars producing at least 6 times more nitrogen oxide, including Hyundai's i20 1.1, Fiat's 500X 1.6, oh hey, that's the Pope Mobile, isn't it? And Citroën's DS5 Hybrid 4. And so a spokeswoman for Hyundai Motors got up and said, Hyundai Motor abides by testing regulations and methods of each region where it sells cars, including Europe. Of course, you didn't really expect her to get up and say, oh, we're so sorry. We've been evil. Oh, they're just lovely. Did I mention it's a great day to destroy corporate rule? Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And between January 2007 and April 2013, the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, permitted the royalty-free flaring of 107 billion cubic feet of natural gas on North Dakota public and tribal lands. And that might have had a bit of an effect. That's from EcoWatch.org. EcoWatch.org, but I'll get back to that in just a minute because James has called in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, and James is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, yeah, I'm frustrated. You know, the Pope, I mean, and maybe I guess in all honesty, I mean, I guess you could really just expect that from the Pope, but you figure with his forward thinking as he's been that he wouldn't, you know, and the fact that it was like a private engagement that nobody had really heard about.
Oh yeah, it was such a careful PR thing. I mean, his trip here was obviously a PR, you know, and I'll grant him that. People got a right to public relations, but that was very carefully handled, wasn't it? That was pretty much a secret meeting, and so now it's out, now that he's, you know, heading back to Rome or wherever he's going, and now it just comes out that, oh, he's cozy with Kim Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thanking her for her courage. It's like, courage for what is what I want to know. It's like, you know, the courage to sit there and tell people that God doesn't love them because they, you know, I think that's the one thing that upsets me more than anything is, you know, people think that they've got a monopoly on the afterlife or, you know, or spiritual or how the universe works. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, and I'm a person who does go to church, but I also recognize that, you know, it's like the idea that one way is the only way is basically what's destroyed our world to begin with. So it's just frustrating. I think the Pope is a freaking sham, and I'm just livid about him just, you know, getting cozy with Kim Davis. That's ridiculous.
I know. The idea for me that she is a martyr, I mean, yeah. Gay, lesbian, trans people, questioning people all over the world, being stomped to death, riddled with bullets, thrown in jails, thrown in psychiatric institutions, and she had to have her little hand taken to the jail for 5 days. Oh, oh, what a martyr. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, no, no, that's absolutely right.
Come on, she wants to be like Christ, let's whip her 40 times and crucify her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like these conservatives saying that Christianity in America today is like Judaism in Nazi Germany. It's like you are out of your damn mind.
Yeah, it's like, is the biggest religion in the world. So they can't claim victimhood, but they do.
Oh, they do. They absolutely claim victimhood. It's disgusting. I think more people really should be outraged about this. You know, the, like you said, the confidant, the mediator between man and God has chosen to take sides with an ignorant backwoods bigot.
Well, you know, I mean, you're right that it's consistent though, because this is about patriarchy, and you can't have liberation of human sexuality and gender roles under patriarchy, because patriarchy says the man's in charge and here's the man's gender role, and the woman's subordinate and here's the woman's gender role, and you can't have any mixing because, you know, ideally, the woman, you know, as it says, as Paul says in the Bible, the woman shall serve and shall be subordinate, and, you know, you just can't infringe on that. It's a slippery slope, and they know it. So So of course he went to meet with Kim Davis, but I don't know. It's just
look at all the progressive movements within like the Methodist sect of the church, or the movements within Judaism. Can't even think of the word. But basically, places are religious institutions are starting to recognize more and more that they can't have those beliefs and consider themselves to be, you know, to say that, oh, you know, Jesus loves everyone and, you know, God loves you, but then on the other hand, sit there and, you know, and beat up and kill and maim people who don't fit what
it's,
you think
it's double think.
The definition of holiness.
Right,
you know,
on.
There's a lot of, yeah, so I just... It just sucks with all these people within various movements figuring out that, you know, being awful to homosexuals is a problem, that, you know, the Pope is going to sit there and take sides with somebody who is just out of her damn mind.
Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thank you.
Number to call 503-231-8187. Yeah, it's doublethink, and it's doublethink under the context of intimidation now, isn't it? That's how you can do doublethink. Doublethink, save your life under conditions of intimidation. And that's what the church wants. That's what corporations want. What governments want is for you to meekly repeat whatever lie is working. And I have respect for those people who are religious who have thought it through. There are some Christians who say, okay, we have this Bible, which is a magnificent historic and anthropological document, and we have our ideas of God, and there is a complex relationship between this idea of God and that document. But the fundamentalists, who depend on doublethink, say, no, every single word that is written down in there is meant to be taken literally and applies to you. And of course, that brings up all kinds of contradictions, but under doublethink, that doesn't matter either. You can just pick what you like. So I don't have respect for that that type of religion. I don't have respect for the Pope for that reason. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And no, women can't have abortions, because if women aren't forced to give birth, then they don't have a long period of their lives in which they are essentially forced into child rearing. And then that whole nebula of thought that goes around putting down women as childlike and like their children and unable to do great big manly things because they have to take care of the children, that wouldn't apply. So we can't allow women to give birth when they want to, because that'll screw up patriarchy. It's all about patriarchy. It's all about intimidation, control, power, greed, alienation, and sickness, which we call patriarchy. As I was saying, ecowatch.org says that there's a hell of a lot of natural gas being blasted out into the air and partly burned in giant flares, which you can see from many, many miles away, which you can see from space. Continuing on that article, although more than 50 operators received royalty-free gas flaring privileges, a single company, Harold Hamm's Continental Resources, was responsible for more waste than all of the others combined, burning a grand total of 55 billion cubic feet of gas, producing carbon emissions equivalent to more than 360 million gallons of gasoline. Okay, I got those numbers wrong. I was multiplying million MCFS, thinking MCFS stood for millions. Obviously, it doesn't if it's 360 million gallons of gasoline, so one of those figures is wrong, but it's a hell of a lot of gas. The venting of natural gas releases methane, a greenhouse gas 84 times more potent than carbon dioxide, over a 20-year frame in North Dakota Marathon Oil, vented the most of any single company, with 962,812 MCFS, equivalent to the annual CO2 emissions from more than 35,000 homes. Quoting the interviewee Ross, as the Obama administration prepares new rules to tackle venting and flaring, it has the opportunity to end this subsidy for good for the sake of taxpayers and for the climate. This loophole must be closed. There's much more to that article at ecowatch.org. And I'll bet you can find that. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. 8187 503-231 8187. And Mamie's on the air. Good morning, Mamie. What's up?
Yeah, I just turned the radio on and I heard you make the statement about destroying corporations.
You know, that's coming through in a pretty thin way. I suspect that you're on speaker. Can you manage otherwise? Or if you're driving, please pull over.
Yeah, I am driving and I can't pull over because I'm going to work.
Okay, well, speak loudly and we'll try to get through this.
Yeah, so I guess I'm curious about the most fundamental and basic ways a person could generally know how to begin to get in the movement to change corporate rule in our country.
Watch out for that truck. Okay, but quickly, though. And so is that basically just what you wanted to say?
Yeah, and I'm listening.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think it's legal to drive when you're on speakerphone, isn't it? Ooh, I could be treading on thin ice there. Never mind. But anyway, I appreciate the call. And do try to pull over, y'all, if you get a chance. Global Research, in an article by Eiichiro Ochiai, says, don't ask me to say that again. The first radioactive materials from the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster has now been detected in the coastal waters of North America, according to a study conducted by researchers from Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Quoting researcher Ken Buesler, radioactivity can be dangerous, and we should be carefully monitoring the oceans after what is certainly the largest accidental release of radioactive contaminants to the oceans in history. In March 2011, a massive earthquake and tsunami caused three separate nuclear meltdowns at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. The explosion ejected massive amounts of radioactive material into the air, much of which ended up in the Pacific Ocean. Among the radioactive elements released during the Fukushima disaster were cesium-134 and 137, both of which occur on Earth only as a result of human activity. Because of its long half-life, much of the cesium-137 detected in the environment actually originates with nuclear tests conducted decades ago. Cesium-134, in contrast, has a half-life of only 2 years. This means that any cesium-134 in the environment, especially when detected at large distances from likely sources of nuclear contamination, such as power plants, dumps, or weapons factories, stems from the Fukushima meltdowns. The Woods Hole researchers tested water samples collected on February 19th of this year from various locations off the coast of Ucluelet, Butis, British Columbia, a small town on Vancouver Island. They detected cesium-134 at levels of 1.4 becquerels per cubic meter and cesium-137 at levels of 5.8 becquerels per cubic meter. A becquerel is a unit of activity. Shortly after the Fukushima meltdowns, Japanese coastal waters tested at 50 million becquerels per cubic meter. According to Canada's Department of Fisheries and Oceans, the Pacific Ocean typically contains cesium levels of only about 1 becquerel per cubic meter, making the levels near Ucluelet nearly 6 times higher. In November 2014, another Woods Hole study found radioactive elements from Fukushima about 100 miles off the California coast. Until now, that was the closest the contamination had traveled to North American shores. Woods Hole, by the way, has to depend on volunteer researchers, such as a certain KBOO volunteer that I know of. Thank you very much. To gather buckets of seawater to be analyzed, because the federal government is carefully stonewalling the advent of Fukushima radiation, which is going to get worse year by year. This is why I keep bringing it up. Getting on to 5 years, certain effects are going to be found in the Japanese population across the island, even to the extent the federal government is carefully stonewalling the advent of the radiation, even to the extent of encouraging untested Fukushima products such as green tea and fish to arrive here in the U.S. for human consumption. And also, speaking for myself, I'm sad to report that whereas often the air here in the Pacific Northwest is quite clear, registering at 6, 8, or 9 counts per minute on my cheap little Geiger counter, I am regularly registering 20. Slow way and a very inexorable way. They're not going to stop. And, well, I guess if you can't have a life, you can have a half-life, huh? But returning to the article, if the new findings are kind of to be expected, Buesler said we knew 4 years later it would be reaching our shoreline as we had seen it offshore. Radioactive cesium from the Fukushima disaster is likely to keep arriving at North American coast, he said. Predicting the spread of radiation becomes more complex the closer it gets to the coast. According to a 2013 study by Nansen Environmental and Remote Sensing Study in Norway, the main part of the radioactive ocean plume from the Fukushima disaster is likely to hit the North American coast in 2017, with maximum concentrations of radioactivity arriving in 2018. The model showed the bulk of the radioactive material from the disaster remaining concentrated along the North American coast at least through 2026. And you can find more on that article at globalresearch.ca. And as I was saying before, the name of the researcher is Eiichiro Ochiai. From RT.com, a Syrian presidential aide has praised Russian air support in the fight against terrorists, slamming the West's ineffective airstrikes. Media advisor Boutianis Shaaban told RT she believes Russian intervention will help stabilize the situation in Syria. Speaking on behalf of her country, President Assad's political and media advisor has said that Syria hopes that Russia's assistance will help Damascus undermine terrorism and restore peace and security. By the way, you may have heard that Russia had blown up civilians, and there had been civilian casualties, and that came out a couple days ago now, didn't it? However, RT says that President Putin points out that other nations have been bombing Syrian territory for over a year, and he says that... Let's see, I printed the wrong part. Okay, essentially what he said, what he pointed out was that these reports of civilian casualties came out hours before actual bombing began. So I'm reading you Russian propaganda and pointing out U.S. propaganda, and wish I could tell you exactly which is which. I think in this case it's probable that Putin is telling the truth here, I emphasize here, that... the criticism of civilian casualties came out before the actual bombing. Sure, that fits the Pentagon's propaganda policies just fine. So I believe that. Anyway, returning to the Russian propaganda, shortly after Russia announced its operation in Syrian skies and even before the first bombs fell, reports started to emerge accusing Russia of targeting opposition and Western-backed moderate rebel groups in Homs province instead of terrorists. NATO declared that it was concerned by these unsubstantiated reports, but Shaaban told RT that the allegations did not sound very credible. She said, "What I know is the way Russia did things, that it did both in full cooperation with the Syrian government and consultation with the entire world. Putin was asking any country in the world to join in fighting terrorism. Therefore, I think the style of fighting terrorism is very convincing by Russians, while the alliance that was made by the U.S. and the West did not really either follow the rules of international legitimacy or coordinate with the Syrian government and didn't really mean to fight terrorism," Shaaban said, adding that the U.S.-led operation had proven to be ineffective. Citing Iraq and Libya as examples, Shaaban has accused the U.S. and its allies of looking to destroy our countries in order to destroy our civilization, in order to destroy our people instead of pursuing peace in Libya. The problem right from the beginning, she said, wasn't Assad. Target wasn't Assad, just as Libya is destroyed now, and they're talking about Gaddafi, and Iraq is destroyed, and they're talking about Saddam Hussein. President Assad's advisor said, "One thing that is true is that all those carrying arms against the Syrian people, against the Syrian institutions, are terrorists, and the Syrian army has been fighting them for the last 5 years while the West is looking at our country being destroyed, at our hospital, our schools, our archaeological heritage being absolutely destroyed," end quote. There's more on that article at RT.com, of course. And I would add to that that, of course, this is the source of the greater part of the refugees, and the other refugees are fleeing another U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. And, well, it's all just very interesting, isn't it? And disgusting. And so I would like to take this opportunity to say that I oppose the Imperial Pentagon. I think it's sickening that my tax dollars are used to kill other people for the sake of oil company profits and arms industry profits, which are huge. And by the way, when you hear that the Saudis are bombing Yemen, they're doing that with globally illegal, although the U.S. hasn't signed on to it, cluster bombs made right here in the U.S. Great big bombs filled with bomblets, some of which explode, and some of which lay around for little kids to pick up and blow their own heads off. Been going on for many years, and the Saudis are very fond of those, and what they're doing in Yemen is a grotesque and inexcusable war crime. And our people are making a wonderful profit from it, so it's going to go on. until we stop it, until we have a revolution here in the United States that shuts down the Pentagon, shuts down imperialism, shuts down corporate rule, and takes back this country for the people who live here and for the good of the planet and for the good of all societies. That's what we need. And that is possible. A better world is possible, is what I have to say here today. Now, stay tuned, because here on your people-supported radio station, KBOO Portland, we're coming up on Parafogging and Fight the Empire. And you can pick up this signal on 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia and via the World Wide Web on KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How We Got On at the Portland Playhouse, Wednesday through Sundays until October 25th. Directed by Jen Rowe, How We Got On is the story of three teenagers in the suburbs of the Midwest who dream of fame in the golden age of hip-hop in the late 80s. That's How We Got On, Wednesdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. through October 25th at the Portland Playhouse, 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hip-hopping is the thing that's in. It's where the Stone Cold Nitro party begins. So listen, party people with the ear to the street, the college professor and the social elite, to the fly young guys and the pretty girl. IT is going to tell you about the hip-hop world. Hip-hopping is a way of life.